Thank you, Brother Gordon, for that enthusiastic song selection. Thank you for being in our assembly tonight for our evening period of worship. I've entitled the lesson for tonight, Enthusiasm. And I've taken my text from Galatians 1 and verse 14. Please notice what Paul says about himself in this passage. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Paul advanced more so than his countrymen for this reason that he gives right here in verse 14. Because I was more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Is zeal a good thing? Is enthusiasm a good thing? The word enthusiasm, as it's defined, is ardent zeal or interest or fervor. The word itself is not found in the scriptures, but its definition is found very many times in the scriptures, and particularly pertaining to those who are devoted to the Lord and His cause. Enthusiasm is a very beautiful thing to behold, and it's a principle that the people of God should surely take possession of and demonstrate in their lives, I think. The Lord's cause is great, and that warrants that we have a great amount of zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord's cause. Can one say that he's truly dedicated to the Lord and not be enthusiastic with regard to the things of the Lord? Consider what was written about this denominational preacher many years ago, and those who don't know of the life of this man might be somewhat shocked just to notice how zealous and enthusiastic this man was for what he believed to be right. Notice what was written about John Wesley. John Wesley traveled 250,000 miles on horseback. That makes me rather uncomfortable just to think about. Averaging 20 miles a day for 40 years. He produced 400 books. He knew 10 languages. At 83, he was annoyed that he could not read more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. And at 86, he was ashamed that he could not preach more than twice a day. He complained in his diary that there was an increasing tendency to lie in bed until 5:30 in the morning. Would that man be a zealous man, you think? Does not Wesley's zeal put me to shame? Does his zeal not put us to shame? Paul commands that we always abound in the work of the Lord. This man took that seriously for what he believed was the work of the Lord, I think. Concerning the subject of enthusiasm, let us consider enthusiasm in 4 points for the lesson this evening. Number one, enthusiasm is contagious. When individuals are enthusiastic, others observe that enthusiasm, that zeal, and they begin to become more excited. And that's true in a lot of different areas of life, not just in spiritual things. The zeal and enthusiasm of others catches on very quickly. We would say that's contagious. We like to be around people who are enthusiastic because they make us feel good. And their zeal kind of rubs off on us. And we feel like we get a recharge to our batteries, so to speak, when that happens. And it makes one feel that they truly believe and possess and profess what they believe. Speaking of Christ, Paul said this, that he gave himself to redeem us, in Titus 2 and verse 14, from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, notice, zealous of good works or good deeds. As I mentioned some synonyms of zealous now, let these go into your mind and think about things that are common in your life and how you can relate to them. Synonyms of zealous: totally committed, sold out, abandoned, dedicated, possessed, on fire, burning, ablaze, passionate, impassioned, fanatical even, ardent, fervent, fervently devoted, passionate ardor in pursuit of something, a single heart, or single-hearted devotion or allegiance toward someone or something, enthusiastically devoted, eager desire to accomplish some goal or end. Zeal in the New Testament, not counting the two uses as a proper noun, Simon Zelotes or Simon the Zealot, for example, the word zeal is used to describe those who are zealous for the law in Acts 21 and verse 20, zealous for God, a Jew with great concern for the Mosaic law in Acts 22 and verse 3, zealous of spiritual gifts, some of the Christians in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, zealous for ancestral traditions, as Paul was in our text for the lesson tonight, Galatians 1 and verse 14, and zealous for what is good in 1 Peter's letter, chapter 3 and verse 13. As you and I become zealous or enthused about the things of Jesus Christ, you know what effect that has on other people? Do you know there can be people around us that sense that zeal or see that zeal or experience something in connected with that zeal who might start praying more than they do right now? Did you know that when others see the zeal that we have for spiritual things, they'll make a determined effort to be in more Bible classes than they have been in the past? Zeal is contagious, and it affects other people. Remember, an indifferent spirit about spiritual things cannot increase zeal in anyone. Notice in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2 what Paul said in connection with the contribution that was being made for the needy saints in Jerusalem. He said of these to these Christians in Corinth, "I know of your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has provoked most of them," or stirred up most of them. Do you see what he's saying? They perceived that you were zealous about this, and they wanted to be zealous just like you are. So do you think that would make the point in the lesson tonight that enthusiasm is contagious? Secondly, proper enthusiasm must be grounded in the faith. To be enthusiastic religiously is not good enough. To say that I'm a religiously a zealous person is not to fully and completely describe me as a Christian who abides in the doctrine of Christ. We must have enthusiasm that is motivated from the Word of God. It is not surprising to us that there are many religious zealots in this world. There are people who want to be pilots of airplanes and drive them into buildings, killing innocent people. They have religious zeal. And it's somewhat strange to us when that happens on our own soil and we realize there are people that are really religiously zealots and we realize how misguided they are. Who will deny that they are enthusiastic about what they believe? But what prophet is being zealous or enthusiastic if what we are zealous about and what we are enthusiastic about is not something that's found in the Word of God? How profitable is that? Paul wrote to his own countrymen, and he said this in Romans 10, beginning, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them," that is, his fellow Jewish brethren, "is for their salvation." Paul said, "I desire this with all of my heart." And he goes on to say, "I testify that they have a zeal for God." They know who Jehovah God is. And they are religiously zealous for the things of Jehovah God. But notice what he says next. "But not in accordance with knowledge." Oh, they're zealous, all right. But they're misguided in the area of knowledge. "For not knowing about God's righteousness, established through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of whom most of the Jews rejected, and seeking to establish their own," as in, we know a better way, "they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." They had zeal. Paul commended them for their zeal, but such was not according to knowledge. It was not grounded in the faith of God's word. Had it been grounded in the faith of God's word, they would have left Judaism out of their zeal and become New Testament Christians, new creatures, where there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Their enthusiasm was to no avail. One can observe that he can be zealous in a negative or a positive sense. As Thomas Brooks explains, he says this, "Zeal is like fire. In the chimney, it is one of the best servants. But out of the chimney, it's one of the worst masters." John Calvin adds that zeal without doctrine is like a sword in the hand of a lunatic. And I think that's a pretty good statement, quote from someone. Who among us is not familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the great zeal and enthusiasm they demonstrate when not on a work day, on our day off, on Saturday, they're canvassing the neighborhood, going around knocking on everyone's door, sharing information with them, selling them information. What great salespeople these people are, and what great zeal and enthusiasm they have. And I commend them for that, just as Paul commended his Jewish brethren for the zeal that they had. But I will say of them, like Paul said of his Jewish brethren, they're mighty zealous, but not according to knowledge. What about your life? What about your zeal and your enthusiasm? Do you have enthusiasm that is grounded in faith? Are you carefully tracing the steps of Jesus? Are you studying His Word and looking into His Word to see that which way I need to walk in this life? Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21 beginning, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father." There are a lot of zealous people even who would acknowledge in a survey or some other way of making an indication that they believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He is Lord of all. But they don't follow His Word. They don't listen to what He said. They don't study His teaching. And that's a shame. Because Jesus said, "The one who enters the kingdom of heaven is the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare unto them," Christ said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Lawlessness is living as though your own ideas are superior to God's. Lawlessness says God may demand it, but I don't prefer it. Lawlessness says God may promise it, but I don't want it. Lawlessness replaces God's laws with my personal desires that are contrary to His will. I become a law unto myself. Lawlessness is rebellion against the right of God to make laws and govern His creatures. These people were enthusiastic, but their enthusiasm was not according to law. Thirdly, enthusiasm must be fed. It's something that needs to be nourished so that we can keep it alive. If we don't keep it alive, it'll die. For most anything to continue and prosper, there's a vital need that it receive some kind of nourishment. And it's such a good thing as enthusiasm or zeal, it needs nourishment, doesn't it? Individuals can at one time be enthusiastic and then find out later that through some process, they've lost that enthusiasm. The less honest and sincere may blame any number of circumstances for their failure, but the most frequent reason that they fail in enthusiasm is they didn't nourish it, they didn't cherish it, they didn't feed it, they didn't strive to keep it alive, they didn't fan that burning ember to rekindle that fire again. We must not lose sight of the value of the study of God's Word and spiritual exercise and the development of our faith. And as our faith develops, our enthusiasm will grow. Do you lack zeal today? Do you lack enthusiasm? You may realize that at one point in your life, you were very zealous. You were filled with a great amount of enthusiasm for the cause of Christ. But you may realize that now, that's somewhat diminished. It's somewhat different than it used to be. Is that the case with you? Remember that Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 that we're to long for the pure milk of the Word, so that we're to grow thereby in respect to salvation. And in the second letter, he mentions spiritual growth again. He says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and in the day of eternity. A man by the name of Alexander the Great in history was asked a question, and his answer was, by not delaying. That was the answer given by him when asked how he conquered the world. By not delaying. That meant that he had to have a great measure of enthusiasm or zeal, wouldn't you think? I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I'm not gonna waste time. I'm not gonna slip off. I'm going to do what I need to do to conquer this world. And he didn't dally. He knew what to do, and he got with it and did it. Let us go up at once and possess it, said Caleb to the people of God, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 13 and verse 30. He knew what it would take to take the land of Canaan, and he was ready to execute the necessary enthusiasm and zeal in order to get it done. And that's really the way it should be with us today. To know God's will and say, let's go. Let's get it done. Let's do it. We should recognize what it takes to accomplish the work that the Lord wants us to do in this life. And we need to be excited about doing it. And we need to keep that excitement growing in our hearts. Feed the zeal. Get to the task. Stay with it. See it through. Follow it through. Feed that zeal. And then fourthly and finally, enthusiasm not only has to be fed, to be nourished, but we've got to keep it alive. Got to keep it alive. The religion of Jesus Christ is a day-by-day need. And because of that, constant vigilance is required by each of us over our spiritual lives. We must be sustained against the adversary in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As some people drive automobiles in spurts, as they say, We might conclude that there are those who handle religion in the same manner, in spurts. Rather than sustaining a good, enthusiastic speed, the tempo is erratic. I've ridden with people in cars that the way they drive, and if you drive this way, I'm sorry, but I just have to say this. The way they drive, will, if I ride with them for any length of time, it will cause a crick in my neck. Because it's push the gas pedal and then let off. Push the gas pedal and then let off. And it's this constant. Give it gas and then let off. I think maybe they're trying to save gas. I don't know. But it's pretty rough on this old boy when that happens. Spurts. I don't like that. I like the good, even tempo. Like when you set the cruise control when you're going down the interstate. And you're not in a rough patch. You're maybe some on a highway that's been paved recently and it's nice and smooth. But that's what enthusiasm does for you. And that's what zeal does for you. We've known converts to be very enthusiastic when they first obeyed the gospel. And they wanted to capture some other Christians to come go visit with me, or I know somebody we can go talk to, and they just keep on with this zeal for quite a while. Let me do something in the public assembly. You know, let me give the invitation on Wednesday night. Something. And they're so very zealous. And they're so ready to do everything. And then later, months later, years later, we see that person. We're around that person. Where did your enthusiasm go? Where did your zeal go? And we see that it has failed. If their conception of the truth was proper and adequately balanced, shouldn't they have grown and developed rather than to have their zeal and their enthusiasm diminish in that way? Maybe their enthusiasm was not grounded in faith as it needed to be from the beginning. Maybe there are some who have let Satan creep back into their lives and rob them of their faith and enthusiasm. New converts sometimes burn out because they are filled with zeal of this type. Or they may line up with the majority, as many of them do. A new Bible teacher may actually quit in frustration over something. A young preacher may move on looking for utopia. But none of these will have served their Lord with honor because they haven't kept the zeal alive. The cause of Christ depends on those who stay on fire, lighting zeal in other people, encouraging them to be more enthusiastic, whose flame is not the flare of a rocket or the pizzazz of a celebration that lasts for a short period of time, but theirs is the glow of the warmth of one of those good campfires where the firewood burns down and there's hot coals there. And you can work with it, do something. You can stay warm. You can bake a potato. And it's there. It's consistent. It's like the fire of the home hearth. If you grew up in a home that had a fireplace, and you gathered around that fireplace in the evening and warmed yourself, feeding the family, welcoming strangers. These make the converts. These things shake the complacency out of people. And with their help, these things continue the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't quit in disgust. Which has enthusiasm for the truth. When we see it, the enthusiasm sustained, it's a great thing of beauty. How can that happen? With the ideal of zeal before us, let me just quickly put up some scriptural terms that spell out the fact that God's people are to be zealous, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said. fighting the good fight, contending or defending the faith in Philippians 1 and Jude 3. Run in the race that is set before you. In Galatians 5 and verse 7, Hebrews 12, endeavor is a word that indicates that zeal and enthusiasm. In Ephesians 4, always abounding in the work of the Lord, Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. Diligently seek in Hebrews 11. Endure hardness, Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Labor or work in Hebrews 4:11, Galatians 5, 6, James 2 and verse 24. These are all activities that are sustained, maintained, continued, carried on, kept up, upheld, and prolonged as we keep on keeping on. Zeal fits in that category. We must sustain our zeal. On the other hand, it's a pathetic thing to view a life that demonstrates no enthusiasm or a life that has lost zeal. That's a bad thing. The church at Laodicea was inspected by the Lord and found to be lukewarm. True zeal was not a part of their activities. Notice what the Lord said about them. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous. Be zealous and repent. Whether we be few or many, enthusiasm for the truth has to characterize our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. What about your enthusiasm? What about your zeal? A lack of zeal keeps us from accomplishing what we should. It keeps us from restoring the area. It keeps us from studying the Bible with people that need to learn the gospel, doing personal evangelism, and discharging a long list of responsibilities that the Lord has given us in this life. A lack of zeal keeps people in a sloven, idle, sluggish, lazy frame of mind, and it will rob people of their souls. An enthusiast is one who is stirred to action by strong emotion. Zeal describes this intense emotion that compels one into action. One who is zealous manifests an energetic, untiring pursuit toward an aim, devotion toward a cause. Someone has said, am I a zealot for Jesus Christ? Are the embers of my heart burning brightly and creating warmth to those around me, or are they just cooling down and preparing to grow cold? Am I abandoned to God? Am I consecrated to God? Am I truly His? Am I passionate for His cause? Am I wholehearted in my service to Him? Paul had a good antidote for low-growing embers. Speaking directly to Timothy, but applicable to all believers, he said in 2 Timothy 1, beginning verse 5, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you. He tells him how he got that faith, reminds him how he got that faith. And then in verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh. Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, as far as you and I are concerned, we didn't have an apostle lay hands on us to impart a miraculous spiritual gift to us in order that the church may grow. But we have the written word in order that the church may grow. Do we need to be kindled afresh as Timothy? When we think of the zeal of men for sports, politics, business, we should be provoked to godly jealousy and inspired to good deeds. It's amazing how zealous some false religious zealots can be with regard to a lie, while true believers languish around, being maybe the illustration is true, being fed with a silver spoon. Maybe we take the truth for granted sometimes. But we can develop a state of apathy and just not care, even though we have the truth in our hands and in our hearts. J.C. Ryle challenged people when he said this: a zealous man in religion is a man of one thing. He only sees one thing. He only cares for one thing. He is swallowed up in one thing, and that one thing is to please God. A zealous Savior ought to have zealous disciples. A pretty good quote, I think. How's your enthusiasm today? How's your zeal today? Are you letting it go out, or are you keeping it? Fanning the flames, keeping it alive. And incidentally, I appreciate so much what is being done in the young people's class. I think I can say without embarrassing anyone, where some zeal and enthusiasm is trying to be worked into some of our young people. And if you've not seen some of the bulletin boards that they've been working on in the back, with photographs of some of the things that they've been doing, trying to encourage each other and generate, feed, and keep alive zeal and enthusiasm, it would be a good thing to take a peek at some of the things they've been doing. Service, spiritual service for their brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great thing that is, and I appreciate that so very much. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we would love to be able to say something to change your heart and make you desire with everything within you to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be tonight, but you have to believe that He's the Son of God. You have to be willing to confess Him before men, and that takes moral courage. But a greater amount of moral courage is required for you to repent of sins. The things that God has defined as sin must be put off from our lives. Seeking the forgiveness of God, to be lowered in a pool of water and raised up out of that pool of water, immersed in water, if you will, for the forgiveness of sins, just like the converts in the first century, just like the apostles who were faithful in continuing on with the doctrine of Christ taught people in their day. We require nothing different than that. We can help you with that tonight. Or in another spiritual way, we can be of any assistance to you to help you walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. We would delight to do so if you would let us know by coming to the front while together we stand and encourage you by singing number 335.